Hi, I'm Jim Dorey, another hockey guy. I played defense for the Toronto Maple Leafs back in the 60s and 70s and got in almost 700 games of big league hockey playing for the New England Whalers. I won the first AFCO Cup with them, and I also played for the World Hockey League Quebec Nordiques and the AHL New Haven Nighthawks. I'm the kind of player my fellow Kingstonians Don Cherry might call scrappy but clean. I'm also your announcer for this walking tour of mine, Don's and Sir John A's historic hometown. You will be familiar with Cherry as a hockey commentator on CBC's Hockey Night in Canada. His robust personality, distinctive style, along with astute observation, informed by many years as an NHL coach, has helped make Cherry the voice of hockey in Canada and a great Canadian. A few years ago, both Sir John A. MacDonald and Cherry were rated among the top 10 greatest Canadians in the Greatest Canadians, a nationwide contest held on CBC television. When interviewed for the show, Cherry mentions that Sir John A. would have been his choice to receive the Greatest Canadian honor. We hope you enjoy Cherry's distinctive voice as he guides you through the beautiful city in which both he and Sir John A. grew up. This tour was narrated by another distinctive voice belonging to the Right Honorable Jean Chrétien, Canada's 20th Prime Minister and recent recipient of the Order of Merit. For your convenience, we have included the following tone, so that you can pause the recording while you walk to the next location on this tour. For your safety when crossing Kingston streets, please always check left first and right for oncoming traffic before proceeding. Our tour starts outside the Visitors Information Center, 209 Ontario Street, across from City Hall.
First off, I want to say I'm honored to join the former Prime Minister Chrétien in talking about Sir John A. MacDonald on this walking tour. Hey, even if he is a Habs fan. Just like our guy here, Canada's first Prime Minister, Sir John A. MacDonald, who grew up in my hometown, Kingston, a great city. No Canadian leader is more closely identified with a community than Sir John A., and talking about 19th century Kingston is impossible without saying MacDonald's name. Before you go to City Hall, which was built with the idea that Kingston would always be the capital of United Canada, take a second to consider what this beautiful building meant to the Kingston boy. John A. MacDonald's political life started as an alderman in Kingston almost a quarter of a century before Confederation. Around the same time, the world's first recorded hockey games were played by the British soldiers that were stationed here. Sir John A.'s journey was completed in this building. After he died in 1891, when he was serving his second term as Prime Minister of Canada, his body was brought here by train and lay in state in Memorial Hall. If you close your eyes for a moment, it's not hard to imagine MacDonald as a young Scottish lad talking with other aldermen, maybe after a drink or two around here, laughing, cajoling, and convincing, and usually winning his arguments, kind of like me. MacDonald loved Kingston. No Canadian politician since has mastered his skills of public and private persuasion. The crowd shouted during MacDonald's last election, "Sir John, you'll never die." And here in Kingston, his spirit lives on, and it always will.
Enter City Hall, go up the stairs and turn right, and walk into Memorial Hall.
Towards the stage, on the right, you will see a picture of Sir John A. It dominates the room like Bobby Orr on ice. Sir John A. was 76 years old when he died at his Ottawa residence, Earnscliffe, and on June 6, 1891, during his final illness, a special telegraph line was installed to carry medical updates to the rest of Canada. Thanks to MacDonald, our young Dominion stretched from Atlantic to Pacific and was united by a railroad, the Band of Steel, a feat of engineering and vision that helped tie Canadians together as one people. And the thought of this country without Sir John A. guiding hand at the tiller was simply impossible for many to imagine in June of 1891. This guy had served 8,624 days in the federal parliament in Ottawa, and most of them as prime minister. The life of Sir John A. MacDonald is the history of Canada. That's what his biggest opponent, Sir Wilfrid Laurier, told the House of Commons during Sir John A.'s eulogy. After thousands of citizens had paid their respects in Ottawa, the funeral train carrying MacDonald's body rolled these bands of steel home to Kingston. Before his burial in the MacDonald family plot at Cataraqui Cemetery, he was remembered on this spot by those who'd known him since he was a boy, Kingstonians. This tremendous room in City Hall is still a place where Kingstonians and all Canadians come to honor both the past and the present. Here's where the former Prime Minister Paul Martin headed Flag Day celebrations in February of 2005 on the 40th anniversary of Canada's new flag. Kingston's Judge John R. Matheson helped design Canadian's Maple Leaf flag, and it must have meant something to him to have his accomplishments honored in front of Sir John A.'s portrait. As we leave Memorial Hall, we move along the hallway down to the City of Kingston's Council Chambers. Before we get there, however, you'll notice on your left the office of the present-day Mayor of Kingston, and if you're lucky, the Mayor is in. The Mayor has been known to show off the desk that sits in the office that once belonged to Sir John A. No other Mayor in Canada can make that claim. At the end of the hall are the City Council Chambers. In Kingston, we call this the Horseshoe. Here, City Council debates the issues of the day, kind of like I get into with Ron McLean sometimes, except here they vote on the issue. Sir John A. served as Kingston's alderman from 1843 until 1846. It was during his term in the municipal politics that Kingston Hall was built, and we all owe him and his alder buddies for that. Look left. Do you see that portrait of the Honorable Norman Rogers? He was a brilliant professor and a rector of Queen's University from 1937 to 1940. In 1940, he was served as Canada's wartime Minister of Defense, and he was killed in a plane crash. His friend, Prime Minister William Lyon Mackenzie, you'll be hearing more about him later, unveiled this lovely portrait. Back then, they believed Rogers would have been King's successor as leader of the Liberal Party, and maybe even Prime Minister. Rogers is one of those great what-if guys in Canadian history. Ironically, especially considered that the crash happened near Toronto, Kingston's airport is named after Rogers, but nobody hardly talks about that anymore.
Let's go downstairs to get a load of the 19th century criminal justice. Stop at the elevator. Did you know Don Cherry's grandfather, Jack Cherry, was with the Northwest Mounted Police, the Mounties, and was sent to the prairies by Sir John A. Macdonald to catch American bootleggers? We can't visit the jail cell in the basement without a guide or somebody. If you want to see the jail cell, ask one of the City Hall tour guides or take the City Hall tour. This is a perfect time to discuss another part of Sir John A.'s incredible career.
Before he got into politics, Sir John A. was one of the Kingston's and Eastern Ontario's best lawyers. It is no surprise he got into law. It was a great way to make a buck back then. Still is. The first Auditor General of Canada, John Langton, once said, "I know of no money-making business in Canada except the law, storekeeping, tavern keeping, and perhaps, I might add, horse trading. Some things never change." While Sir John A. spent most of his legal career in the commercial law, he practiced criminal law as a defense attorney, taking on some of the most serious and controversial cases they had back then. Back then, they still flogged guys as punishment, and Canada still had capital punishment. Sir John A. defended some really bad guys. Despite brilliant defense conducted by Sir John A., one guy was convicted and sentenced to hang. At his execution, it turned out the rope was too long. The man dropped through the gallows trap and landed in the coffin they had waiting for him there, alive. And the guy says, "Hey, you see, I'm innocent. The gallows was not meant for me." But then they went and found a shorter rope.
Leave City Hall and exit through the back door of the building located to the left of the lobby's reception area. Turn right and walk towards the fountain. Did you know that longtime Ontario Premier John P. Roberts and the Right Honorable Jean Chrétien, like Sir John A., were also born on January the 11th. This tour is also available, narrated by former Prime Minister Chrétien. And did you know that since Sir John A.'s time, Canadian Prime Ministers of all parties have shared an affinity for Sir John? For example, did you know that the Right Honorable Stephen Harper has a large portrait of Sir John A. in his private office?
You are now standing in Springer Market Square. Look at the buildings around the square. Not much is different from when Sir John A. and Don Cherry was a child. I'll tell you, ignore the cars and the kids on the skateboards and imagine the thousands of citizens who came here on July 1st, 1867, the day Canada became a country. Sir John A., who became this new country's prime minister, had to be there in Ottawa for his duties and celebration. The day was also duly marked right here for Sir John A. July 1st was personally important, too, because he got knighted that same day by the Queen Victoria. From then on, he was Sir John A. Pretty good, eh?
We'll now leave the square and head west along King Street. Turn left at the corner of King Street East and Market Street. Continue along to 191 King Street East, Sir Richard Cartwright's house, located at the corner of King Street East and Gore Street.
You guys are obviously interested in Sir John A., so you probably already know a few stories about he liked to have a few drinks. A little too much, maybe. At his grave in 1991, that was the 100th anniversary of his death, Prime Minister Brian Mulroney quoted a guy, the late PEI Senator Heath MacQuarrie, who said, "While the lovable Scottish poet Robbie Burns went in for wine, women, and song, his fellow Scot, Sir John A., did not chase women and was not musical, but liked a few." You have to remember the times, 1857. Police records show that the Ontario Street in the heart of the old city had 37 taverns, grade A, and Wellington Street had another 9, King Street had 14, Princess Street 20, Johnson Street 12, and Market Square had another 19 taverns. And if that wasn't enough, there was another 61 bars around town, including two right inside City Hall. So it's kind of natural that Sir John A. might like a pop now and then. He knew drinkers could get into trouble too, though. He once ordered one of the cabinet ministers to get on the wagon, telling him that a McDonald government couldn't afford two drunks.
As you walk along King Street, first called Church Street, it is interesting to note that the many historic buildings designed for prominent citizens by leading architects like William Cloverdale, Edward Crane, and Joseph and John Power, buildings to note include 264 King Street East, which is called the Gildersleeve House. This neoclassic style stone house was built for the wealthy merchant Henry Gildersleeve and his wife Sarah in 1830. 225 King Street East, called the Frontenac Club, was built in a classical revival style in 1845-46. It was first used as a bank, then as a men's club, and since 2000, an inn and 221 King Street East was built in 1834 for John Solomon Cartwright and his wife, Sarah. John was a lawyer, judge, banker, and member of the Legislative Assembly of Upper Canada. Here are a couple more historical facts of note about Sir John A. Did you know that Sir John A. Macdonald was not the only Prime Minister to have lived in Kingston? Alexander Mackenzie, who went on to become Canada's second Prime Minister, lived in Kingston and worked as a stonemason, helping to build some of the city's historic fortifications, which are still standing today. And did you know that Sir John A. bore an uncanny resemblance to one of the greatest prime ministers of the 19th century, Benjamin Disraeli? Macdonald and Disraeli once spent a refreshment-fueled evening together at Disraeli's English estate. Legend has it that when Sir John A. was in the United Kingdom after Disraeli's death, a woman fainted when the Canadian walked into the party. She thought the great Disraeli had returned to life.
You probably think that everybody loves Sir John A., just like Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby, or my guy Bobby R. Well, it wasn't like that, and that's why we're stopped here at the Cartwright House. Sir Richard Cartwright didn't just hate Sir John A., that would be an understatement. Detest, disgust are better words. Kingston was a small town back then, and I guess that wasn't enough room for these two top conservatives, Cartwright and MacDonald. When they got into it, they had a falling out. Presto, Cartwright became a liberal. After Sir John A. was removed from office due to the mother of all Canadian political scandals, the Pacific Scandal, that's where Sir John A. allegedly accepted bribes to his party from the railroad contractors. Then another man who lived in Kingston, Alexander Mackenzie, became Canada's second prime minister, and he served from 1873 to 1878. He was a Scotsman, like Sir John A., only he didn't drink. Where did he go wrong? Cartwright's feeling about Sir John A. didn't improve when MacDonald defeated both Mackenzie and Cartwright in 1878. Way to go, Sir John A., and returned to power, and despite the Pacific Scandal, he made it go. Later, Cartwright watches Sir John A. defeated the Liberals in a national election over this Cartwright's favorite cause, free trade with the United States. "A British subject I was born, a British subject I will die," Sir John A. shouted during the last campaign in 1891, while the Liberals, like Cartwright, could only cry like little babies on their way to defeat. Long after he died, Sir John A. remained a winner. Too bad for you, Cartwright.
Continue along King Street to Hotel Belvedere at 141 King Street East. Did you know that although he died in 1891, Sir John A. Macdonald's memory is still honored with the public ceremony here in Kingston each year? The Kingston Historical Society hosts an annual birthday dinner for Sir John A. each January, and the same group of hard-working local citizens also organize the annual gravesite memorial service at Cataraqui Cemetery every June the 6th, which is the anniversary of Sir John A.'s death.
Back in the 1940s, somebody from Vogue magazine wrote that this hotel was the only reasonable place to stay between Montreal and Toronto. Before that, it was a private home, and in October 1925, strange things happened here. Our prime minister at the time, William Lyon Mackenzie, visited two spiritualists before he delivered an evening speech at Kingston's Grand Theatre. He had even sent ahead one of his handkerchiefs without telling them it was from him so they could do their magic. He wrote about this in his diary, which is how we know this happened in Belvedere that day. He wrote, "When I sat down opposite her, she asked for something I had been wearing, and I gave her another handkerchief, which she rolled up in her hands and began speaking very fast, without suggestions from me of any kind. I sat perfectly motionless, not even assisting with an expression on my face. In fact, I was quite tired and less clairvoyant myself than usual." The spiritualist told the Canadian's prime minister that he was going to marry a younger woman and live in a big house in California or Vancouver. And during the session, these sinister figures came to him who reminded him of his conservative enemy and governor general who he was angry at. King wrote thousands of words about this. He wrote, "The influence of that talk with this little woman is strange. It has brought me very near to my dear ones in the great divine, which seems more like the great omnipresent here and now. I can never not believe in spiritualism after today's experience." Yep, Prime Minister King was really impressed. Too bad those ladies weren't selling swampland in Florida. I like it. But I digress. That means I'm going back too far. The experience also gave Mackenzie the idea to drive out Sir John A. Macdonald's grave to truly visit the dead. "The grave is a very simple one," he wrote afterwards. "My grave will be like that. I would have liked to seen Sir John's monument, Prime Minister, with the dates. Perhaps that is better for a statue or other memorial."
"Proceed and cross at the lights at West Street and gather at the commanding statue of Sir John A. Macdonald, situated in beautiful City Park."
This statue was erected in 1895 in honor of Kingston's most famous son. Even today, each January 11th, Sir John A. Macdonald's Day across Canada by an act of Parliament, a bunch of Kingstonians come here at noon to sing Happy Birthday, O Canada, and God Save the Queen in Sir John's honor. A few have been known to sip unidentified liquids from flasks and hoist them in host to Sir John A. in the snow and the cold. In 1941, on the 50th anniversary of Sir John A.'s death, thousands of his admirers gathered here to mark the loss of Canada's father of Confederation. Then Prime Minister Mackenzie King was joined by the former Prime Minister Arthur Meighen, and future Prime Minister John Diefenbaker was also in the crowd. Mackenzie King also brought Prime Minister Stanley Baldwin, Prime Minister of Great Britain. He brought him here in 1927 to lay wreaths in Sir John A.'s honor, but he didn't like how Baldwin did it. "It was done in a great hurry," King wrote in his diary. He goes, "I was a little surprised Baldwin did not proceed in less haste and display more reverence in the act. It was sort of like a business affair. Didn't like it at all."
"Move north along West Street until you reach Sydenham Street. Turn right. Proceed until you reach the intersection of Earl and Sydenham Streets. Stop at 134 Earl Street. Note the historic plaque and stop there. As you walk along West Street, the park on your left, City Park is also important in the history of Kingston. City Park is Canada's oldest municipal public park and is an example of Frederick Law Olmsted's 19th century ideas concerning community park design and planning. Olmsted was also the designer of New York City's famous Central Park. The property comprises City Park here in Kingston, was purchased by the federal government in 1841, and was originally intended as a site for the Canadian Parliament buildings. Did you know that Sir John A. Macdonald was one of the earliest supporters of Queen's University at Kingston? It is therefore fitting that the Prime Minister John G. Diefenbaker was on hand October the 20th, 1960, to cut the ribbon, celebrating the opening of the building that houses its respective law school, Macdonald Hall. And that Sir John A. Macdonald's second wife, Agnes, Lady Macdonald, left Canada after her husband's death. Both she and Macdonald's daughter, Mary, moved to England, where both are buried. All but forgotten, an ocean away from the country Sir John A. Macdonald did so much to create."
After the death of Sir John A's sister, Margaret, his other sister, Louisa, and his brother-in-law, Queen's University professor, James Williamson, continued living together here. They were an extremely close-knit family. Plus, this Williamson had his Scottish mother-in-law and his sister-in-law, Louisa, living under his roof the whole time he was married. From 1865 to 1876, the Williamsons and Louisa also shared a home at Heathfield at 1200 Princess Street, a farmhouse outside city limits. It's now the home of the Sister of Providence, St. Vincent de Paul. They are the only religious congregation founded in Kingston. And if that wasn't enough, and with Sir John A. off in the political world after the death of his first wife, this professor and his wife, in effect, raised Sir John A.'s son, Hugh John. You may think Sir John A. was lucky in the in-law sweepstakes, but you gotta know that Sir John A.'s mother-in-law and the brother-in-law moved in with him in Ottawa after his second marriage in 1867, if you can believe that. Despite some family tension, Williams remained a close friend of Sir John A.'s after his wife died. Sir John A.'s loyal secretary, Joe Pope, described Williamson in 1891 this way. A widower who lived in a desolate-looking house with the minimum of comforts of any kind, painfully lacking the evidence of a woman's touch, and who was besieged by politicians who thought only of their immediate interest, intent only on extracting from him the last measure of service. Sir John A. stayed in the Earl Street house during his final election campaign in the winter of 1891. He told Pope something then that the guy wrote down. It goes like this. Joe said Sir John to me one afternoon as he lay dozing in a cheerless room, "If you knew the depths of meanness of human nature, you have got to be prime minister during a general election." I guess Sir John hadn't seen too many hockey games by then.
Continue walking along Sydenham Street, about two blocks. Turn right on Johnson Street. Stop at 194 Johnson Street.
Despite his success in politics, Sir John A.'s personal life wasn't that happy. He saw his baby brother beaten to death by a drunken servant on a Kingston street when he was just a little guy. And his first marriage to his cousin Isabella was also, let's say, it couldn't have been very enjoyable. Isabella spent most of the time they were married depressed and in pain. She had a whole bunch of illnesses she took opium for. This was a common cure back then. Sir John A. arrived home from a work trip in Toronto on Christmas Eve in 1857, and Isabella was dying. She passed away 3 days later. Her funeral was held in the home. MacDonald also lost a baby boy to illness, and his daughter Mary struggled with a lifelong disability. She died alone in England in 1933. That was a tough life.
Continue down Johnson Street to 180 Johnson Street.
Sir John A. and his first wife Isabella had a son, Hugh John, born here on March 13, 1850. Hugh John faced a rocky future. He lost his mother when he was still a boy, and he really didn't get along good with his father later on. You know why? Because he married an older woman. But he ended up a real success. One of the last times Sir John A. was at the House of Commons, he proudly introduced his son, Hugh John, to the House as a fellow Conservative MP. Hugh John was elected as the MP from Manitoba in 1891, and he later became Premier of Manitoba and was knighted. Way to go, Hugh John.
Continue along Johnson Street for two blocks to King Street, and then turn left on King Street, ending your tour in Springer Market Square. Did you know that the highway most tourists use to get to Kingston, at least those who don't arrive by train, plane, or boat, is officially known as MacDonald Cartier Freeway. Since Highway 401 connects Ontario and Quebec by road in 1965, the Ontario government named it after Sir John A. and his Quebec partner in Confederation, Georges-Étienne Cartier. A portion of this stretch of road from Trenton to Toronto is also known as the Highway of Heroes, acknowledging that this is the route traveled by vehicles carrying the repatriated bodies of fallen soldiers to their loved ones. And did you know that Sir John A. MacDonald could display quite a temper? "You damn pup, I'll slap your chops," he once shouted at his fellow Kingstonian and Sir John A.'s former law student and future Ontario Premier Oliver Mowat during a legislative debate during the pre-Confederation years.
Well, folks, it makes sense that this Sir John A. walking tour ends here on the Market Square where Confederation was celebrated on July 1st, 1867. Less than a year before he died in 1979, former Prime Minister John Diefenbaker wrote a tribute to Sir John. The book called MacDonald of Kingston by Professor Donald Swayson of Queen's University. And here's what it said. As was said of Sir Christopher Wren, when somebody asked, "Where is the monument to that great man?" the reply was, "If you would see this monument, look around you. MacDonald's monument is Canada." I'll tell you, folks, that's a great way of putting it.
MacDonald was Canada's first Prime Minister, and many would join Don Cherry in saying he was the greatest Canadian. It was MacDonald who brought French and English together and laid the very foundation of what is Canada we know today. He did so with skill and ability during those early days. For Confederation to succeed, it needed a brilliant guiding hand. Sir John A. provided it when Canada needed it most. He was a master politician and leader, a prime minister and party leader who governed and built through consensus, not divisions, and brought as many Canadians inside his political tent as possible. Sir John A. had his faults, but he made few attempts to hide them. Because of this, he was beloved by Canadians in his time and remains so today. MacDonald of Kingston, his biographer Richard Gwynn has written, "Sir John A. was indeed the man who made us." For further information about Sir John A. MacDonald's life and legacy, please visit Bellevue House National Historic Site. It is located on Center Street, which runs north off King Street and is a short drive west or a five-minute walk past historic Queen's University and along our city's beautiful waterfront. Sir John A. and his first wife, Isabella, lived at Bellevue House in the 1840s and has been restored to reflect that period in history. As well, Sir John A.'s grave at Cataraqui Cemetery, which is a natural historic site, is well worth visiting. Established in 1850, Cataraqui Cemetery is located on the east side of Sydenham Road, just north of Counter Street. Its main entrance is accessible via Purdy's Mills Road. Thank you for taking this walking tour in Sir John A.'s footsteps, which has been narrated by great Canadian Don Cherry. Thank you for taking the time to learn about Sir John A. MacDonald's ties to the Limestone City. We are as proud of our unique connection to Canada's first Prime Minister today as our ancestors were on July 1, 1867, the day our nation became one, largely due to the work of this special man and leader who made Kingston his home. I encourage you to further explore Kingston and the surrounding areas during your visit here. Kingston is now UNESCO World Heritage Destination, which much to offer. For further information, please visit the Visitors Information Center located at 209 Ontario Street near the steam train called, you guessed it, the Spirit of Sir John A. All aboard!